we talked a little bit about the conquer COVID-19. I was going to call it a movement. It's not a movement, but the conquer COVID-19 initiative that was sparked by Haley Wickenheiser and Ryan Reynolds. And the idea is to ensure or to assist healthcare professionals in ensuring that there are regular PPE drives in order to ensure that these frontline workers, frontline and first responders have access to the necessary protective gear, whether it's gloves, gowns, masks. I mean, the literally the stuff that saves the lives of the people we are relying on to save other people's lives. It's a great initiative. And Craig Forrest has been very much part of that. He's co-host of the Footy Pine podcast. He's a former Premier League and Team Canada goalkeeper. He's one of our favorites. Craig Forrest joins us in Writer's Block. Craig, thanks so much for doing this. Congratulations on this effort, which from all accounts is bearing a remarkable amount of fruit. Tell us a little bit about it and Craig, how you got involved in this.
Well, thanks, guys, for the opportunity. It's a tremendous, I don't even know what I call it, initiative. I was wondering, call it a team. But what it really is a group of physicians, healthcare experts, business people, influencers who have joined together behind Haley Wickenheiser, who is a Canadian treasure. She's so much more than hockey. She's a leader in every aspect of our world. I was happy to get behind her initiative. She's a fourth-year med student herself, so you know she knows what's going on. And her initial goals were just to help out a few of people that she knew, and it grew so quickly and with some brilliant people and just angels just giving hope back to humanity, geared up to help fill the gap before the cavalry shows up, and that is the government getting to grips with the needs of all our healthcare workers and our heroes on the front line that are putting themselves in harm's way every single day. I delivered some N95 masks out to Trillium Health Partners, who in the last couple of days have had 59 reported healthcare workers test positive for COVID-19. They are in trouble. They're desperate. So all the help that we've had through the drives and donations, Canadian Tire have given us hundreds of thousands of N95 masks, hand sanitizers, hospital-grade 95, two-way baby monitors, iPads, gowns, face shields are in high demand. The gowns are in high demand. And we're trying to keep up as much as we possibly can. But some great business leaders have helped us get together and to do this incredibly quickly. And 100% of everything that is done goes to the frontline workers. Not a penny of it is kept by anybody. If anybody wants to be a part of it, take part in it. You can do so, but there's no money given to anybody. It's just all goodwill. And it's been just terrific, guys. And it's been brilliant. And Ryan Reynolds has been amazing with this as well. Politics aside, Doug Ford has stood up. He had her T-shirt on the other day. And a lot of people that came through the drive didn't have equipment and felt that they wanted to help out and started asking about these Conquer COVID-19 T-shirts. So we're now in the process of trying to get those out on sale. 100% of the profits will go to help. Now, where does that money go? It goes to PPE equipment that we can purchase at cost from people that have avenues to get it with these experts. And I've only met about 20% of the team so far. Everybody I've met, from med students to just people off the street that want to volunteer, has been outstanding, and we're trying to do what we can.
You know, Craig, so much of, you know, what the information we're being bombarded with right now, or that we're trying to absorb right now, is is in the form of numbers, right? Numbers and curves and graphs and, you know, projections, models. What have you learned, you know, from what you've heard from the people you've encountered in this? What have you learned about the human stories, the human dynamic of this crisis?
Well, it's obviously tangible for everybody that's in the healthcare business. I get calls from people because they direct call us for requests, and some of them are almost in tears as far as what it means to them to be unprotected, how they have to go home to their families. Not to worry about everybody else, but what they're doing. you know, a large portion of them are off sick themselves. So staffing is being a problem. Had a home breakout in Markham on the weekend. I think they had to fulfill 37 people who walked out on the job there because they didn't have PPE equipment. It's got a human cost to it like we've never seen before, Stephen. And it's certainly something we feel on the front lines and we see every day dealing with this problem we have for the time being anyway.
Greg, you mentioned that you mentioned Haley Wickenheiser, and I wanted to just see if you could expand on just sort of how remarkable she is and how unique a figure we have in terms of someone who is as great as she was in her sport and now is clearly excelling in medicine and helping communities as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's incredibly selfless. You know, a great Canadian. Like I said, she's a treasure, and she's so much more than hockey, and she's a leader. You can see how she led her teams to success. And one thing sports does teach us is that we need to work as a team. And I think that the Chiefs brought those qualities to conquer COVID-19. And with her, you know, she knows her brand as well. She knows that she has influence on people in a very positive way, and she uses it incredibly well for things like this. She's also said this is her biggest team that she's been part of, the most important team she's been a part of in her life. That's probably true. But she really is just the leader, and everybody loves being with her, part of her, helping her. And there's no shortage of people wanting to volunteer to help Haley Wickenheiser out in this incredible initiative. And she's just a wonder for Canada. And I love spending time with her. I love supporting her. And I think everybody is part of this Conquer COVID-19 team and right behind Haley.
Craig, when did you and Haley first meet?
I met Haley a long time ago. Actually, in 2007, we did a thing for Egg Farmers of Canada in Kananaskis, of all places. It was a very interesting event, and one we didn't forget. So that was the first time we did a speaking engagement together. It was 2007. I've seen her at some Canada Sports Hall of Fame events as well in the last few years, and obviously follow her closely on Twitter and social media to find out what she's doing. And she's always trying to do something really positive, as well as trying to be a med student, which is, takes an awful lot of work.
Hey, Craig, I want to talk a little bit about footy while we've got you here. There's certainly some rumblings about European leagues trying to find ways to start. There are players training at a social distance in Germany and some of the complexes. There's talk about even some activity in Spain where they've been incredibly hard hit. And the Premier League maybe playing at neutral sites or playing at a limited number of sites anyway with no fans in the stands. I wonder if again, these are things we've never had to imagine before, but when you think about that, I wonder if you can wrap your head around what that might be or what it might look like. But I also want to ask you about MLS a little bit, in the sense that, you know, the sports that are going to be really vulnerable in the next year, like I'm assuming there's going to be startups here and there for television and games and empty stadiums and empty arenas, but the sports that are going to be really vulnerable here are the sports that rely heavily on gate for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And MLS is one of those, right? They don't make a ton off TV. Selling franchises and gate receipts are their two biggest revenue sources. I wonder about the vulnerability of them, you know, in the Canadian Football League's the other one going forward. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a little thought on kind of what might be happening in Europe and then wither an MLS if they can't put fans in the stands for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Europe, it's really complex, obviously, and with a different competition. So you got the Premier League that was coming to an end. I believe there was like 8 or 9 games left there. Liverpool were cruising to win that league. Then you have all the European leagues, like the championships of UEFA, or sorry, Europa League, the Champions League, Euro in the summer, all these different competitions that are leaning and sort of just flow into each other quite seamlessly. Now they don't know what to do. Olympics, obviously, is soccer takes part in the under-23 level, but that's a problem too. I really just don't see anything happening for weeks. I really just don't. People will talk about it, do what they can. It's important for people to have it come back, not only just for an escape, entertainment, but also for people that work in the sports industry. They said billions and billions of dollars. And, you know, I talked to football clubs that I played for in Europe and say to them that, you know, players do come and go. That's always consistent. But what is always staple at football clubs is their staff. They're there for years, sometimes decades. West Ham, people were there 10, 20 years before I arrived, and they're still there now. So we need to support those types of people working in the industry as well. And it's as soon as we can get that, better it is for everybody at Rogers Center, at the Scotiabank Arena, all those people that you see in the aisles, lovely people that you see all the time. Those people are struggling. They're not getting paid, and it's a massive problem. From MLS's point of view, you're right. Vulnerable leagues, MLS would certainly be in there. The Canadian Premier League certainly is in that category. It's only coming into the second year. I mean, really, this is the worst possible scenario for a startup league. Hopefully that the investment will stay, and that league can get up and going whenever they, or as soon as they possibly can. But there's going to be some big changes in the sporting industry, and some big hits, and some not so many good numbers are coming through. So it's a tough situation, Steve, for everybody we know, and football's trying to organize themselves just like every other sport is around the world, and hopefully we can come to a conclusion as soon as possible.
Craig, I imagine the answer is yes to this, but I will ask it anyway. How important do you think is what the Bundesliga is doing now to the rest of the soccer world to see sort of how that experiment, returning the training camps, et cetera, begins?
Well, it is important, but we have to also be very careful that we don't do this too quickly, because all it takes is one infected person to show up at training and spread it out throughout the community very, very quickly. So I think that's the cautious side of things that we have to look at, that, yeah, you can get back to training. And if we can get a situation where all sports can at least train, if we can test these players, know who's got it, who hasn't had it, who's had it before, and we can organize these teams around that to at least maybe prepare themselves to get ready for it. Because we can't expect these athletes, as much as we think they're pampered and everything, and they are, to just step up after only a week of training, after sitting in their homes. It doesn't matter how much they're doing in their homes, to be ready physically. And you can say, well, the standard, it doesn't matter, but physically it's not good for the players to do that. So they need time to be ready. Yeah, the standard doesn't necessarily have to be good, but the players need to be ready and make sure that they're not putting themselves in harm's risk as well for injuries and things like that. So if they can get themselves going in an environment that they can prepare at least physically and be ready when they open up the doors or open up some sort of plan to move forward, then that would be great for all sports, whether that's the NHL, NBA, the English Premier League, or European football.
Craig, it was really good to hear your voice again. I'm going to say this anyhow. I miss you guys Saturday mornings. I'm going to say that. you know how I feel
you.
About
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate that, but, guys. I know you guys are a huge support for us, and we do miss it. Absolutely, we miss the camaraderie. We miss Sportsnet. We miss being around that environment. Absolutely, and it's nice to talk to you guys once again.